Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, where each week we have an enlightening conversation that varies from mediums to medical doctors, bridging the gap between spirituality and science. And joining me today is Lisa Najjar of the Dying to Tell You channeled books. Her book I'm holding right here, Dying to Tell You, Channeled Messages from the Famously Dead. And I'm so glad to have Lisa on the line. How are you today?
Hi, Jen. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. So you are quite the combo platter. Let's just put it out there. You do psychic work. You do psychic matchmaking. You do mediumship. You channel the famously dead. Do you channel the non-famously dead as well, I'm guessing?
Yes, I do. When I do readings, everybody comes. Aunt Betty, Uncle Joe, they all come. Angels, guides, teachers, masters.
We all have a lot of them, don't we? Well, for those who don't know about your story, and I know a lot more than the listener because I've been researching you leading up to this conversation, explain to our audience how you came in to know that you were wired a little differently than most.
It started back when I was around 17. I was living in my friend's house, and the family suffered a terrible tragedy. Two of their three daughters passed within 2 years of each other. So just so sad.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was in the house, and 1 year it was Christmas, and I could hear kids out in the living room around the Christmas tree. And then I kind of poked my head out and I saw the bubbles moving and things on the tree kind of moving and giggling and bells ringing. And I thought, oh my gosh. And I could hear the girls. So I realized at that point that that's something that I could do, and kind of went from there.
So at one point, were you ever scared by this, or did you just know it was happening? I know it depends on the household where you grow up. I have a son who's highly intuitive, and he's been able to chat with my father who passed away 6 years before he was born. So, you know, this is something that thankfully he feels comfortable talking to me about, but a lot of kids grow up in households where it is shunned and not allowed, and so they feel something's wrong with them, and they shut the gifts down. What was your circumstance?
It was, we were Catholic. We were raised Catholic, and I don't think it really was ever talked about, and I didn't really talk about it. And when this happened, it was almost so matter of fact. Mm-hmm. I mentioned to my friend that this had happened. She's a non-believer. She still is. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of, oh, by the way, you know, this is what's happening here. So I think it was just always really kind of an easy matter-of-fact thing for me, and I don't think my parents would have been upset in any way if I had brought it up, but I didn't really.
Okay, and then when did you decide to sort of come out full throttle?
Well, that was a slow process, I must say. So as I say in the book, the intro, mm-hmm. it was something I didn't really think I ever wanted to do, so I sort of made a deal with spirit, you might say, and I said, okay, if a friend wants to connect with a loved one or somebody comes for them, I'm happy to be the bridge between that world and this. But I don't want to do it professionally, I thought at the time. So I mm-hmm. said, don't keep bringing people and, you know, regularly to me. So they didn't. They were very respectful. Mm-hmm. And so as it went on, I would be sitting with friends over lunch. It was always while I was eating for some reason. People would come and I would say, oh, so-and-so, you have someone in spirit that's here. Would you like a message? And they would usually say yes. So I would pass on the message and help friends who had lost loved ones and whatnot. So that's how I did it there. And I didn't think anything more of it, and I wasn't going to use it in any other way. And then back in 2011, Walt Disney actually came to me. And he came and he said that he wanted me to never give up on my dream. And at the time, I had a dream for a spiritual comedy TV show. Mm-hmm. And he said never to give up on that dream and that he would help me. So that was kind of astonishing, and mm-hmm. because nobody like that had ever come through. And that was that. And then a couple of years later, he came back and said, I have a project for you. I would like, would you do this for us? It's going to help me say what I need to say, and it'll help you get on your path. And my path has always been to help raise consciousness on the planet. And I didn't think mediumship was necessarily the way I would do it. But he said that it would help me on this path and that we could work together. And he told me what it was. He said it was a book, and he told me sort of the gist of it. And I thought, oh, this is a really fantastic idea. But I had just seen my son off. He was going off to Europe, and it was empty nest time. And I just wasn't, I just wasn't receptive, I think, to it. So mm-hmm. I put it off and didn't think anything more of it. And then about a year later, there was a high-profile missing persons case in the city that I lived. Mm-hmm. And I was out for lunch, and a friend was telling me about this case, and I didn't know about it because I don't usually watch the news. So mm-hmm. she was telling me about it, and as she told me about it, I could feel someone there. And I said to my friend, somebody's here, and it's not for you. I believe it's this. So a husband and wife, an elderly couple, had gone off on a vacation, mm-hmm. and they never came back. And I said, the woman is here. So she did. She came home with me, this woman, and she stayed with me for over 2 weeks. And every day she just kept, you know, talking with me, poking at me, you know, sort of just doing little things to get my attention. And she kept saying, you have to find my daughter. You have to find my daughter. And I said, oh, my gosh, I don't know your daughter. I don't mm-hmm. know how to find your daughter. I don't know anything about this.
Because wanted you to give her daughter peace, that she was on the other side? You mean like her living daughter?
Yes, her living daughter, and mm-hmm. I believe so. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, do you want me to help you cross over? Because mm-hmm. I thought maybe she was trapped and couldn't get into the light.
Right.
So she said, no, no, no. And she was very agitated. No, you have to find my daughter. And so eventually I had to. It was about 2 weeks, and I said, okay, I promise I will. Tomorrow I will find out who your daughter is. And at that moment she said, can you get a piece of paper and a pen? I want to give her a message. So she channeled through me this very simple but very beautiful poem for her daughter. Mm-hmm. So I printed it off on pretty paper, and I set about trying to find out who this daughter was. Is there one daughter? Are there several daughters? I didn't know.
Right.
So because it was a high-profile case, I did find this daughter, and there was only one daughter. So I phoned her, and gosh, that was the hardest phone call I have ever had to make, because here's this poor woman who doesn't know if her parents are dead or alive. And I have this message that she's there, and I didn't even know if she would believe in this or anything.
How did she receive it?
Well, I made the phone call, and she immediately was interested. She said, yes, yes, Lisa, I do believe in this. And, what does my mother have to say? So I channeled a message over the phone to her, and then she said, can I come over? And I said, yes. And it was about 9 o'clock at night. She came straight over, and I handed her the poem, mm-hmm. and she started to cry. And she said, oh, my God. She said, do you know that I've had over 100 psychics and mediums working on this case? And just before my mom and dad went off on this holiday, this summer holiday, she said, my mom and I were in the kitchen, and she said to me, whoever dies first, the way we'll know it's us, mm-hmm. is that we'll write something from heaven. And she said, in all these psychics and mediums have been working with me, and no one gave me anything that was written. And now I know it's my mom. So wow. She now knew her mom had passed. So that was tragic enough. But at least she was making contact. So it was just very profound.
And what happened to the husband? Was he gone as well?
He was.
I see. Gotcha.
Yes. Very tragic.
But she was the communicator for both of them.
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful stuff. And, you know, for those people who are out there going, whatever. I don't know if you've caught wind of the show The Healer on TLC, but that one just launched a couple weeks ago, and it's very, very powerful. There's a guy working with hospitals and different doctors, and he discovered he had this healing gift for energy healing since he was 18, and now he's 36, and he's out doing this for free because he has a day job as, you know, a CEO of some companies, but he's trying to heal as many people as possible. And he says, I just know there's a lot of us out there. We need to start communicating. It shouldn't be a secret. And I think a lot of people keep these gifts secret because they just don't want the judgment that comes along with it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And for me, I also, it was even more that it just didn't seem to be quite the path I wanted to follow.
Right.
It wasn't until this situation with this woman and then another one with a friend that I realized how truly healing this gift was. And at that point, that's when I opened up to the idea of, oh, maybe this is part of my path. And then shortly thereafter, Walt Disney came back again, and it was Easter of 2015 when I finally said, okay, I'll do this for you. And that's how the book came. And once they channeled through me this book, and then from then on, I've been doing it professionally as well. at doing readings, and I'm finding it's just so transformative in so many cases. So it's quite a passion now.
So for the listeners who don't know Walt Disney, as in Disney, as in every movie you've ever seen, and then some, famously passed away for a very long time now. So we're not talking about a guy down the street, you know, at the studio with Buena Vista giving you a shout. This is somebody from the other side coming to you. And so for now, Lisa, are you working on any movies for him? What are you doing?
No, I'm absolutely not. But okay. He did say he'd help me with the TV show. So I'm resurrecting that because...
Good.
Well, it's time.
That's right. It is time. And I don't know if you've seen the movie Ghost Town with Greg Kinnear and Ricky Gervais. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Everyone listening, go out and get it on Netflix. You, Lisa, this is your homework. I'm telling you. It's a very funny movie about Ricky Gervais, who's a dentist, who goes in for a basic procedure and has a near-death experience. Kristen Wiig is very funny as the doctor that almost kills him. I mean, it's a very humorous take. And he comes back with this gift of being able to see the other side. And they bug him there in his living room, and he's just so annoyed by the whole thing. Taya Leone's in it. And, you know, a lot of mediums I've spoken to have seen this movie. It is so spot on because when you're bugged by a spirit, it's because there's some unfinished business on this side of the veil that needs closure. Someone's grieving or someone has the wrong information. And there are all these spirits that were coming to Ricky Gervais, and he finally decided to go out and help deliver these messages to get the clarity and the closure. And then those spirits can move on. And because a lot of the time we're the ones left that are stuck on this side, and they want to help us. They're in angst because we are in angst, even though they're really not, quote, in angst, because they're in love and light.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if there's one thing that they mentioned, well, there's so many messages from the book, but one is that the grass really is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful. It just is. And it's us here that aren't aware of that. And so there's so much fear and of course, the sadness and the longing and regret, a lot of times they come to help with that. So, and healing relationships,
right.
They come to help heal things, like you say, that just unhealed stuff.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting. I've had a sort of a tiff with Carolyn Mace, author of An Anatomy of the Spirit and many other books. But she was like, you know, look, if you didn't talk to them about it when they were alive, then now they're dead. It's your problem. You know, she didn't really understand the value of the gift of mediumship at one point when we were discussing this. She says, you know, ugh, who cares? They're dead. They're dead. They're dead. Move on. But then she understood that sometimes grief can actually envelop your entire being, and it can prevent you from moving forward. And I write about this in the last chapter of my latest book, Psychics, Healers, and Mediums. She's chapter 8 in that book, where she talks about the value of somebody who's stuck in grief because they don't have the closure over a lost child or a lost parent. And in her case, it was her brother had passed and she was traveling and couldn't be there for it. So there was a disconnect actually with some in-laws that was resurrected and resolved through a conversation with a medium. And she understood then the value of how the grief can be in your field and you don't even know it's in your field.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
But that's what I think a lot of listeners are out there where they just kind of shut it down because they're sad, or they shut it down because they don't want to go there. They don't want to think about it. But one of the things I have been told over and over and over again by all the people that talk to dead people, and yourself is included in this, is that they are there. They want to communicate. They want to give us signs and signals and help us feel empowered and know that it's like having them on a different radio station. They're there. You just have to turn the dial a little bit. So what do you know for sure, Lisa, from all the years that you've been doing this work, about what happens when we transition from this side to that side?
Gosh, that's a great question. I know for sure that the grass really is greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for sure that in the end, kindness is the only thing that matters. I know that, and these, especially my guests, I call them guests, that came, most of them were either famous historical figures or celebrities. They had everything that the world would deem important, the fame, the good looks, the success, the influence, all of it. And the moment they crossed over, they realized none of it mattered. Mm-hmm. And to the point where even Albert Einstein has shared with me his theory of irrelevance. It's irrelevant what we think we are, what the world tells us we are. It's irrelevant. And nothing matters. The only thing that's going to matter when we cross over is our heart, the purity of our heart, how much we loved. What did we learn? How did we help? Did we live our passions? How kind were we?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all those things and those random acts of kindness. I mean, they really matter. So Elvis, I mean, he says to me that every act of kindness that we do reverberates throughout the whole universe, that every look, every gesture, every word ripples out into eternity, and everything's affected by that. So he's saying, why wait till you, you know, to find that out later? I'm telling you now, and if only I had known. That's a big regret for him, that if he had known how what really counted, he'd have spent his days differently, his influence differently, his money differently. And he's wanting us all to benefit from the wisdom of what he's learned. And so I know that, yes, love matters, and that love bonds never die. Paul Newman speaks of it.
Right.
He's desperately, you know, waiting for, I mean, not waiting in the sense of hurry up, but
right.
He's not moving on until his wife comes. And he wants us to know that these bonds of love, they never die. And they're as real as they ever were, even more so, because they can watch out for us. They're there with us all the time, whereas in the real world, the human world, we might not see our husband all day.
Right.
But in the other world, they're with us all day long. So love never dies.
Love never dies. And the other thing, too, a lot of people are worried that their loved ones on the other side are going to get recycled before they get there. That's just not going to happen.
And they generally don't. Right. I mean, in some cases, they come quite quickly back, mm-hmm. but very rarely. In fact, a lady I read for last night wanted to know who the spirit, the soul of her daughter was, and mm-hmm. turns out it was an uncle. She was kind of surprised at that. No, he's a man. I said, well, that doesn't much matter.
Right.
Souls are souls are souls. So, yeah, sometimes they can come quickly back if they have work they want to do and mm-hmm. things they want to experience. But generally, no, that doesn't happen.
You know, recently I had a conversation with a woman who's an intuitive and a healer, and she was talking about how sometimes one of the pitfalls of going to a psychic, and you're really clear about this on your website, by the way, which is dyingtotellyoubooks.com for anyone out there who wants to go there. But you say when people call you for a psychic reading, you know, this is what you're seeing is like the right now vibration, as if everything went along in this vibration, then this is what will happen. But we all have, you know, because of free will, this is Jen's interpretation, at any moment we can take a sharp left turn or pick up the phone and decide we're going to Europe or whatever the heck it might be, or just cancel our plans. So therefore, it's very difficult because of free will to be completely accurate on the psychic realm. However, there are some destiny things that we are meant to do, aren't there?
I believe that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my current understanding is that. And I guess I won't really know till I cross over.
Right.
But I do. And I'm really enjoying the mediumship is a little bit different than the psychic. I mm-hmm. mean, definitely psychic future-y type information does come through mm-hmm. through our relatives, guides, angels, and whatnot, but it's just a little bit different than a straight psychic reading. And so oftentimes it's, yeah, to clean up some of that family stuff or just give advice as to just kind of how things are going in your life, things like that. And another area that I've been doing lately is, I call it hospice mediumship, and it's so amazing. It's people who are transitioning mm-hmm. and they're, of course, you know, a lot of them are terrified to die. And I'm finding it so beautiful. I feel like it's God's work, truly holy work, because if, you know, I can help bring in relatives or guides, angels, whatnot, mm-hmm. that can help make it easier and so much less frightening. And just explain some of what they're seeing, because often when they're getting ready to pass, they see a lot of what's coming, or they have visitations. They don't understand it. They think they're just hallucinating, and it's not. Their relatives do come for them. So I find that really rewarding work, and I'm enjoying it. And also, totally opposite to that is the psychic matchmaking, which is all about the love thing. Mm-hmm. I you know, that's kind of fun to do. And but again, as you say, it's, there's that element of free will, mm-hmm. and you can always change the trajectory. But I'm reading what's going to happen if you stay right on that path and don't veer off.
Well, that's what I'm going to tap into you about, because in the last year, I have had, you know, 15 psychics from Sunday telling me that, you know, this is the month, this is the month. My joke between my son and myself, and I have 11-year-old, is like, okay, this is the month, he's coming, you know, and the joke is and scene. You know, it's like, I am loving my life right now, and I'm so busy with work anyway, it's totally fine not to be in relationship, but all of these different theories of, he's going to look like Lance Armstrong, and he's going to be in a business a suit, and he's going to love the water, and he's going to have a boat, and he's going to be a TV executive, and he's going to be this. He's going to love soccer. I mean, I swear to you, it's exhausting, and my brain is cramped. So what this one medium psychic said to me, she said, because you have all of these maybe visuals in your head, just subconsciously, it's not like I'm sitting here thinking about who this person that might be coming might look like, but they're there, sort of like a film in the ethers, that it's actually confusing and muddying the waters. Instead of just being open to whatever, I'm sort of like narrowing the playing field, if that makes sense. Like when people have a vision board and they just say, please help me earn $100,000 in the lottery. Well, you're kind of ruling out the $1 million jackpot. You know, if you're only focusing on little things, then that's what you're calling in, and you're ruling out the other things. So is that possible, that people can get sort of attached a little too much to the psychic message, that it can prevent things from landing on their runway?
Gosh, that's very interesting. When you said it made me think of myself, because for many, many years I was single. I was a single mom. Mm-hmm. And I went to various psychics, and I had the mountain man.
Uh-huh.
The mountain man. I'm so not a mountain climbing person, but he's actually a mountain climbing person and a ski guide and all of this, and a heli skier. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, no, that can't be. I mean, there's just no way. And yes, it does, because you get that, and then you get the businessman, and you get the guy from Sedona, Arizona, and then this one and that one. And I thought every single reading was a different one.
Yes.
And it was so, my son, it was just like yours, it's just the rolling of the eyes, and mm-hmm. it's like, and he had jokes for them all. So, you know, I think we can, because there was a time I was kind of on the lookout for the mountain man, even though that's not really what I would have wanted. Anyways, he never did come.
Right.
And he never did come. Mm-hmm. There's no mountain man.
I had a mountain man trajectory as well. And it was like, oh, he loves to hike and he loves the outdoors. You better get a bike. You know, I'm like, well, I already have a bike and I live in Chicago and there's no mountains. So where the heck is this going to happen? So I'm visiting my friend in Colorado and I'm looking on every trail like, is that the guy? Is that the guy? Oh, he's kind of cute. Wedding ring. You know, I mean, it was literally in my energy field of just kind of, well, is that the guy? I don't know. So I just, you know, I ditched the whole thing. I'm like, the whole playbook is going out the window, and I'm back in my, you know, total focus of work and loving it completely. And it's fabulous. But guess what? If a mountain man shows up, I'll definitely call that psychic, but I'm not looking for the mountain man anymore.
Well, you know what's interesting? I actually just did a reading with a gal uh-huh. who I had a reading with, well, a number of them, but the last one was probably 5 years ago. And she told me all kinds of stuff. And at the time I thought, no way, there's mm-hmm. no way. And I dismissed it like immediately. Well, anyways, all of it came true 5 years later, not yeah. a year, not two. 5 years. Well, who would have thought?
Right.
So I had actually phoned her up just 3 days ago. And I said, Mary, everything you told me did come true. It took 5 years, but it did come true. And right. and it was all stuff that I would never have guessed.
Right.
Never. So I guess sometimes, again, and you've heard this, I'm sure, that there's no time on the other side. There's right. no time once we step out of the 3D reality here on Earth. So it's really, really hard to gauge time. So all those men could come in time.
And
you just have them all lined up.
Well, it's so interesting because you're right. The timing is the hardest part of your job. And Echo Bodine tells a great story of how she went to the psychic and he said, you're going to meet your future husband in March and you're going to get married in November. And it's somebody that you've known before. So, you know, the next year she gets on this diet in January, getting all ready for the man in March. And lo and behold, nobody shows up. That went on for 13 years. And she, when she was writing out her wedding invitations, I mean, she'd forgotten about what the psychic said, obviously, after about 2 years. But when she was writing out her wedding invitation for her November nuptials or whatever it was, she went, oh my gosh, I did meet him in March. And oh my gosh, he was a friend of my brother. So I did meet him when I was much younger. And so that did come true, but it was 13 years off the, you know, prediction. But it was exactly as it was seen. So sometimes what you do, you're catching a glimpse of what could be a reality. You know, maybe there are... quantum physics says there are 11 different versions of ourselves happening, scientifically proven. There could be many more dimensions, but there are 11. So there'll be 10 other versions of you right now happening right now in another dimension. That's kind of wild to wrap your head around. So maybe they're catching, you know, Honestly, Lisa, maybe you and I are married to a mountain man in another dimension.
Yes. Yes, it could be brothers.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. And the other thing is, and this really, this upsets me even thinking about it, but, you know, you've heard it, I'm sure, mm-hmm. is that it could be the right man. Like, when you do meet somebody, it could be the right man, but for that time.
Right.
He's the right man that, for just for that period of time. And for me, it's like, no, I want my completion person.
Right.
I want, you know what I mean? You want your the one, your guy, the one you're going to live happily ever after. At least I do.
Right.
And so, you know, you'd maybe date somebody and then they'd say, well, it was the one for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I hate hearing that.
Right. But it's a contracts expire. And sometimes the person swoops into your life for a 6-month amazing connection and then they swoop right out. And that's all part of the deal. I mean, I surrender to whatever it looks like, because I think we have all these ideas and models. Like you say, you want the forever guy, you want this person, you want to have the person with Christmas. Well, maybe you'll have 3 Christmases with this guy and you'll have 4 Thanksgivings with that person over there, and that a different partner will come and go, but you're always evolving. And that's the intent. I always say, show me the next steps for my highest good and the highest good of all involved. No matter what it looks like, let me trust it. And then whatever shows up might be in a costume I don't expect, but I know that the intention of my next step is to have it be the highest step.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And surrender really is the key, and flowing, you know, be that leaf on the river.
Right.
Instead of trying to push through things. So, boy, that's a beautiful sentiment. And it's how we're supposed to live in all areas of our lives.
Well, let's talk about the famously dead's regrets, because I know there are so many of them here. I kind of can't even pick and choose. I want you to give me some of the bumper sticker moments for you when you were doing this channeling work that surprised you out of the people that came through in their messages.
Well, I think Albert Einstein, I mean, just realizing how important he thought he was, and then realizing once he crossed over that he just wasn't. Well, he is, but mm-hmm. no more important than anyone else. So I think that was kind of surprising to me. And Paul Newman, I mean,
what a gentle soul.
Of course, love. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And because I'm an empath, of course I'm feeling all this. So I felt the love. It was so beautiful. But in a lot of cases, I didn't actually know if these people were dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there channeling them. And some of them say this in the book. I mean, channel through me, Lisa, you're wondering if I'm dead. And yes, I was thinking, oh dear, what if they even aren't? I don't even know. And so, I mean, I would channel. And then the first thing I'd do is go and find out if they had passed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just didn't know in some cases. And so Paul's, he was one of them. I actually didn't know.
Right.
I don't follow too much of the celebrity stuff. I don't know. And I didn't know if his wife was still here or not. So it was beautiful and sad. And I really enjoyed that,
mm-hmm.
The connection that he and I had. It was very beautiful. Elvis was quite sad. He had a lot of regrets. He feels that he would have spent his time so differently had he known what was there.
Mm-hmm.
Davy Jones. I met him on the earth here. I met him in Calgary one night, and we had his band and friends of mine, and we were all having a really nice evening together. And he didn't believe at all in reincarnation. And he believed that when you're dead, you're dead. And that's what he told me. And I said, I think you need a past life regression. I think we should book you one. And we were, and he ended up getting called out to do something and couldn't do it. But next thing you know, he shows up, and he was someone I actually didn't know was dead either. So when he showed up, I knew it was him instantly because of just how he presented himself. It was just all playful, and he's really like that.
Right.
And
how interesting that he came back to validate, because, you know, he probably, his spirit remembered that you guys had that conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they told me that they had arranged it. They had already sort of let me know how it was going to go, that I would have no say in who came, the topics they discussed,
mm-hmm.
Any of that. I was just supposed to surrender
mm-hmm.
to what it is, and let go of all control. And that was tough.
Right.
Because I wanted to, you know, and half the time I'd start out not quite knowing, oh my gosh, who is that? And then, oh, okay. And you know, so I never knew.
What about Abe Lincoln? I mean, if I could have a cup of coffee with that guy, whew, especially right now.
Abe is beautiful. He's just everything you can imagine. His energy is so beautiful. He's all the way through, his essence is solid. It's he has such integrity, mm-hmm. and you can feel that. Like, you immediately just feel noble mm-hmm. when he comes through. You feel honest. You feel good. You feel strong. You feel focused. I mean, he's a beautiful, beautiful soul, and he's still working tirelessly from that side, and many of the others are still working from the other side, as they did here. George Harrison mm-hmm. was—I hate to have favorites because they were all beautiful, but George, there's a few favorites
I have. He was super spiritual, that guy. Well, I mean, woof.
Super spiritual, and more so now than ever before, even.
Sure.
And he talks about coming back, and when he comes back, he'd like to just be a straight kind of spiritual guru. And it says in the book, he's kind of job shadowing, mm-hmm. if you will, Jesus. And because that's what he always wanted, but he did his life here as a Beatle, as a musician, as a famous person, and he did it well. He feels really good about his choices here and all of that. He just wished that he had more time even mm-hmm. while he was here to do more mystical exploration and having those experiences. So
what about Marilyn Monroe? Because, I mean, there's another life cut so tragically short and a beautiful, bright star, but then I'm sure many regrets about not using her celebrity maybe to help others more, or maybe not. I don't know.
She, surprisingly, didn't get into much of that. She comes in really gentle and sweet, and she's resting.
Right.
It's all about just resting. I don't even think, she hasn't. She told me she hasn't even had time to sort of review, because mm-hmm. we have these life reviews when we get over, and we assess all of it, all our choices, and not right or wrong or punishment or anything. It's just seeing where we missed the mark, where we could have made a different choice and how that might have looked, and kind of the ripple effect of that choice or those words or whatever. And she has not, I don't believe, even went into review stage. She's just really resting. And a lot of people that have a really hard life, or say there's drugs or a long illness, they take time to rest. And some of them go to what I call the infirmary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where their soul just needs to regroup and almost be fortified. And she's in a beautiful, peaceful little resting. She likes to say it's spa-like where she is.
Wow.
So just kind of having that rest that she never got. And then she's going to probably talk more about, well, what's there and what she's seeing and what's she learning and all of that. But it's about rest for her.
And for Abe Lincoln, I mean, going back to the political piece, I'm guessing when you channeled him, it was not when our current political climate was happening. Is that the case?
Yes, that's
okay.
The case, because I channeled him in it was 2015.
That's
it was around, it was Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, I was in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Calgary, Canada.
Right.
And so I wasn't. But no, it was nothing like it is now, at least as far as I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now people do ask me, you know, gosh, what would he say now if he could come and talk about what's going on? And I'll tell you, my guess is he would say what he did say, which is there is nothing more important, nothing than kindness and goodness and brotherly love and being unity and peace. And those things transcend everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to, you know, save this world and take us forward as a species. It's going to take us forward. It's just brotherhood of man,
mm-hmm.
love and peace, simple stuff, but really the only game in town.
You know, it's fascinating because, you know, we've conquered since the very beginning of time. I mean, that's what people do. You go and you conquer a city. I mean, except for even Native Americans trying to stake their claim amongst some tribes, of course, did not do that at all. But there were some aggressive tribes that did. But that whole feeling of having and taking instead of working together in community, it's a vibration that's hard to shake. And it's something that, you know, as human beings, we've been repeating over and over again. And when I interviewed Dr. Mary Neal, who wrote the best-selling book To Heaven and Back, she was a neurosurgeon. She's not a neurosurgeon. She's an orthopedic surgeon. I clarify that. Still working as an orthopedic surgeon, and I don't know if you've read that book, To Heaven and Back. Have you, Lisa?
No, not yet.
So she was dead for 30 minutes in a kayaking accident, and she was up in the light and with, you know, hanging out with Jesus, just another day, hanging out with the cheese man. And, you know, and she was shown that we are all connected like an oriental rug, and there's light and dark, but you need the light and the dark to make this beautiful pattern. But we are all the same rug. We can say we're separate, but we're not. It's connectivity. It's all about being connected. And they said, if you ask for signs to be guided by a sign, right, or is there some proof that there's more happening, those coincidences are not coincidences. They are actually messages from the other side. And so from that day forward, she told that to me, and I started asking for some sort of, you know, sign. And I've been seeing heart-shaped things in everything. I mean, we're talking bird poop, you name it, it's heart-shaped. And so many times that it can't be a coincidence. And she said, if you acknowledge it with a thank you to the universe, a looking up, a wink, a photograph, I post them on Instagram or Facebook just to say thank you, I acknowledge this. And they happen so often, it's comical. And so her saying this, you know, she said, I'm a pragmatist. I'm a woman of science. I couldn't make this up if you put a gun to my head. So for her to be coming out and saying all these things gives some more validity than if just anybody who was smoking pot in a, you know, field, you know.
Absolutely.
But, you know, for decades, for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, energy healing has been a reality and channeling has been a reality. That's how the Bible was compiled. So we kind of have to get out of this fear of this world and embrace it and say, okay, here's what's useful. Here's what's not. And so for you, I'm guessing you have a lot of things that you've compiled from all these channeled messages that help formulate your daily grind. Or I would say your daily bliss, not your daily grind. But what are some of your absolute, you know, for me, I was sharing, show me the highest good, show me the next steps for my highest good. What are some of your daily mantras that help get you through with the knowing that we're not alone and that, like you say, brotherhood is everything, community is everything? How do you get through your day? With what mantras do you start and end your day?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. I've never really thought about it that way. I think just talking with people, just in when I'm processing information or processing things that are can look like they're going wrong. I thankfully I'm quick to realize, okay, that's not the big picture, and to stand higher above that and look at it and say, I know it looks like this. That's the illusion, and it's really this. So there could be a multitude of reasons why this is happening. And I mean, it doesn't happen instantly, but I think I'm getting better and better at doing that. And that's a big one for me because, of course, back in the day, before I sort of went down that more spiritual path, I would get caught in this is happening and it must mean this and blame and all of that stuff, you know, and playing the victim and all of that. But now it's, okay, what is this teaching me and where is this leading me? And even things that look so, so bad sometimes, and frightening, you just think, okay, I can't see where it's going. And that maybe 6 months from now, I will look back and I'll see why all those things fell into place. And it looked like it was that, but it was for my highest good and growth. And I have set the intention like you, almost without setting it, I set it. It's kind of a global setting of always for my highest good and growth. And yes, show me signs as often as possible, because that helps us along the way. And the more that we acknowledge those signs like you do, which is fantastic, the more we acknowledge them, the more spirit says, okay, she's paying attention. We'll give her more. Or, yeah, she really likes this. And they just give you more and more. And they love that. They love knowing that we noticed. And I ask for signs all the time. I'm very fortunate to have a lot of communication through things like that, signs, through dreams, through messages, through just really kind of cool stuff, magical things. And so I feel I never usually feel too alone these days. So I'm pretty blessed that way.
So when you do the psychic matchmaking, let's talk about this. The information comes through you in which way? Is it clairaudient, or where you're hearing, clairvoyant, where you're seeing, a clairsentience, where you're sensing? I'm guessing because you're an empath, that's some of what happens for you. You're absorbing a claircognizance, just a knowing. How does the information come through you?
Well, for the psychic matchmaking, well, what I like to say, what I like to tell my clients is what I don't do, and that is I don't give the name of the person you're going to marry, like pulling it out of a hat or something. But what I do is basically, so if a person's out and they're in the dating world and all those coffee dates and they have maybe five guys they're thinking that they're going to have coffee with over the next couple weeks, or women or what have you, if they give me the names of the prospective dates, I can tap into their energy field quite easily and just kind of tell them, well, in some cases that they're not for you, or maybe they have anger issues, or maybe they've got they're married, or they have fidelity issues, things like that. I can see, sometimes I can say, you know what, this is somebody you need to spend time with. It may not be your forever person, but it's somebody that you're going to benefit greatly from, the two of you, and maybe there's karmic balancing or there's lessons to be learned. And I can say that once in a while it's happened where I have actually said to somebody, you need to call so-and-so, that's your person. And that, but that isn't sort of the normal way. It's normally just tapping into things like, you know, like I said, issues, addictions, things like that. So they'll give me the first name. I don't need pictures and all that, just usually the first names of things, and helping them that way. And also the other piece that I can help with and do is finding out what's inside of the client that might be in the way of attracting that person that they want. And sometimes it's a fear of a block, or a fear of success or happiness, believe it or not. A lot of people have a real resistance to true happiness or true fulfillment or true happiness, or sorry, not happiness, but success, whether it's in business, money, or in relationship. It sometimes comes from this lifetime. It was set up, and sometimes they brought it in from other lifetimes, and they have a resistance, and oftentimes just discovering what that is, what that block is, and kind of exploring that with them, then they go on to either do some forgiveness work around it within themselves, or they work with some modality, some energy worker or therapist or something like that, to just kind of untangle some of those knots. And that's often what somebody needs. And then the way is clear and the man or woman shows up. So it's...
Do you do that work as well? Do you do the energy detangling or any past life regression or anything like that? Because I will get so many requests. Jen, tell me a good psychic. I need a good medium. And I'll say, actually, it's not that simple. What is your challenge? Oh, I just want someone in my life. Oh, really? Do you? Or do you need to learn to love yourself first? And then you'll attract the right person, because you keep looking for someone else to fill your holes. You know, I mean,
yes.
You got to dig under the hood here.
I don't do that. I have a really wonderful person that I work with, and she's an amazing spiritual life coach, and she will help with that. I also have other people that I work with that do the real, and she does energy work as well, but other ones that do a lot of that deep, deep, deep energy work from past lives and all that. And so I just refer them on for that. But I can definitely, I can find what the blocks are, and then I sort of refer them on to who can help them with the blocks.
Well, it's amazing to talk to you, Lisa. I hope you're working on the next book. Are you working on another book?
I am, yes. Back when I channeled the first one, right when I finished, three guests came in for the next book. And then, but as you know, books are, they take time and effort and everything that goes with it. So I set it aside and said, whoa, not yet. But now I'm about ready to start on the, to do the next one. So yes, I am.
Fantastic. Well, we'll have you on when that one is out. But for those who are listening now, you need to get the first one. Dying to Tell You, Channeled Messages from the Famously Dead. DyingToTellYouBooks.com is the website. Lisa Najjar is spelled LisaNajjar. I have to tell people that because Jennifer has two F's. My mom tried to be original. So it's Jennifer, and everybody thinks I don't know how to spell the easiest name on the planet. So that's why I always spell it out, because you just don't know. So keep in touch with Lisa. If anyone listening out there wants a reading, you can sign up on her website. It's very, very easy and obviously very informative. So that's an option for anybody out there questing. To stay in touch with me, stay with JenWeigel.com, and always tune into the podcast on WGN Plus or wherever you can find them in audiobooks and all those things. Lisa, thank you for joining the program. We're so grateful for your time, and keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Jen, for having me on. You're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Right back at you. And everybody out there listening, treat others the way you'd like to be treated, and stay spiritual, damn it.